Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottame Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraya. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisance unto the personality of Godhead Narayan. Under Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, Srila Vyasadeva, the author, Srila Prabhupada, translator, commentator, and dearmost spiritual master. Where would we be without him? So we're continuing with Srimad Bhagavatam. Today is Canto 5, Chapter 26, Text 28. Continuing with our trip to the hellish planets. And today is also the disappearance day of Sri Vrikeshwara Pandit, Vu and Hera Panchami. And so we'll discuss those also after discussing the verse a little bit. So it's actually 28 and 29, because there's no purport to 28. And we might read 30, it's a very short purport. Yastvihava anritam barati sakshe dravinya vinimaye daneva katanchit savai pritya narake vichimat yadha shira niravak. Kashe Yojana Sato Trayar Girimurdhya Sampatyate Yatra Jalamivashtalam Ashma Prishtam Avabhashate Tar Avichimat Tilaso Visir Yamana Sharirona Mriyamana Punar Arupita Nibhatati Yaha. Anyone who, to, but, iha, in this life, va, or, anritam, a lie, vadati, speaks, sakshe, giving witness, dravya vinimaye, in exchange for goods, dane, in giving charity, va, or, katanchit, somehow, saha, that person, vai, indeed, pritya, after dying, narake, in the hell, avichimati, named avichimat, or having no water. Adashira, with his head downward. Niravakase, without support. Yojanashata, of 800 miles. Utrayat, having a height. Giri, of a mountain. Murdna, from the top. Sampadyate, is thrown, yatra, where, jalamiva, like water, stalam, land, asmaprishtam, having a surface of stone, avabhasate, appears, tat, that, avichimat, having no waters or waves, Tilasaha, in pieces as small as seeds. Visiryamana, being broken. Sharira, the body. Namriyamana, not dying. Puna, again, Arupita, raised to the top. Nipatati, falls down. Translation. A person who in this life bears false witness or lies while transacting business or giving charity is severely punished after death by the agents of Yamaraj. Such a sinful man is taken to the top of a mountain 800 miles high and thrown headfirst into the hell known as Avichima. This hell has no shelter and is made of strong stone resembling the waves of water. There is no water there, however, and thus it is called Avichima, waterless. Although the sinful man is repeatedly thrown from the mountain and his body broken into tiny pieces, he still does not die, but continuously suffers chastisement. Text 29. Yasiha yastviha vaivi pro rajanyo vaishyo va somapitas tatkalatramva sunamvrata stopi va pibati pramadatas tesham nereyam nitanam urasi parakram yase vanina dravamanam karshnayasam nisinchati. Translation. Any Brahmin or Brahmin's wife who drinks liquor is taken by the agents of Yamaraj to the hell known as Ayapana. This hell also awaits any Kshatriya, Vaishya, or person under a vow who, in illusion, drinks Somaras. In Ayapana, the agents of Yamaraj stand on their chests and pour hot melted iron into their mouths. Srila Prabhupada's purport. One should not be a Brahmin in name only and engage in all kinds of sinful activities, especially drinking liquor. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas must behave according to the principles of their order. If they fall down to the level of Shudras, who are accustomed to drink liquor, they will be punished as described herein. Om Ajnana Timanandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtabitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupagadamayam Dadati Swapadandikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttaparakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Purishana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Varan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Hinabando Jagatpate Upesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namustute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priye Anchukopaturubhyascha Kripasindubhyayevacha Ditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudevi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Shall we read the translations again? Does anyone really want to hear this again? It's interesting in the first verse we read how it says a person in this life who bears false witness or lies while transacting business or giving charity is severely punished in this way. Thrown off a mountain 800 miles high. Has anyone ever done any high dives in their life or jumped off maybe a high rock on a hill into water at the bottom? If you have, you remember how much it hurts if you slightly hit the water wrong and maybe fall into your stomach or something. Just imagine, 800 miles high, and the person is thrown head first. And the strong stone resembles the waves of water. So it looks like one is thinking that there's going to be some relief at the bottom. Maybe some water one's going to hit, but it's only strong stone. And although his body is broken into tiny pieces, the exact word is tilasaha, in pieces as small as seeds. Although one's body is broken up so small upon hitting the rock, one doesn't die, but continuously suffers chastisement. And generally, we've read already, this is for thousands and thousands of years. It's practically inconceivable. So these descriptions must be there in the Bhagavatam for some purpose. What do you think? I mean, is this enough to dissuade us from performing sinful activities? Unfortunately, in most cases, it's not. Because impelled by lust, we continuously do things that are against the injunction of the scriptures, that are against our spiritual nature. And even with all good sense, still one is forced to engage in such so many abominable activities. And in reading this chapter again, although I'd read it before, I realized how no one escapes. Everyone is performing some kind of sinful activity, knowingly or unknowingly, in this world. And so everyone has to suffer. Why is that? It's because, as the Lord declares in Bhagavad Gita, this world is a place of suffering. That's what this world is. Although our desire to enjoy sense gratification is so strong that even by so much hearing, we still think that somehow or other this world is still for our sense enjoyment. When you read through Prabhupada's books again and again and again, more than anything, Srila Prabhupada talks about the danger of engaging in material sense gratification. And Prabhupada knows that we need to hear it again and again and again and again and again, because our strong material tendencies are so incredibly strong. We read in the previous chapters, it talked about the benefits of having a birth in Bhartavarsh. And but I can speak from my own experience, not having such an exalted birth, not having come into the world through the process of Garbhadhan Samskara, that it's extremely difficult, after engaging in the process of Bhakti Yoga after so many years, to become free from the strong tendency to engage in sense gratification, as the impressions in the mind from sense activity within millions of species of life. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Radha Shyam Sundar, Shri Shri Goni Thai Ki Jai. In innumerable species of life, so many sense impressions are there that are so difficult to become free from. And as we know from Shastra, that no one can understand Krishna through the materially blunt senses. The Taji Krishna Namadi Nababedraim Indriya Seva Mukhi Jivado Swayameva Sparatyada. And yet, because of our conditioned nature, we are hopelessly engaged in still trying to understand everything through our blunt material senses. So as devotees, we learn gradually too this process of Shastra Chakshu, of learning to see through the eyes of scripture, because we hear that and we gradually come to understand that our senses are imperfect and we cannot understand things through our senses. And I mentioned this before in class, and you know, most devotees may be aware of this, but I think it's significant that in psychology it's called projection. And as conditioned beings, we have this propensity to project our own consciousness onto that thing that we're trying to understand or study or looking at. And we do this practically imperceivably. And we do this, you know, in one sense quite naturally towards God, because we have no sense recollection and have no way to directly perceive how it is that God is a person. Because automatically we think, if God is a person, then He must be a person like me. I was just listening to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said that most people think that, okay, yes, if they even believe in God, then they think, okay, you know, there is a God, but He's maybe a little bit more powerful than I am. And, you know, so we have all these misconceptions coming into Krishna consciousness. One of the key things that I picked up in the reading of this chapter and the discussion from various devotees, actually Prabhupada in the purport mentioned that it seems that the hinge of all these things, I mean, because this is really scary. It is for me. It's really scary. And, you know, these great souls like Maharaj Parikshit is inquiring with Sukadeva Goswami, you know, how these people can be relieved from this hellish situation. They want to know how to help these people, how to help us. But anyway, Prabhupada mentions how several places how the tendency to commit these sinful activities is due to bad association. Even someone may take birth in because of his previous performance of yoga, although not completely mature. He may take birth in a rich mercantile family, but that also can be a great detriment. And by bad association, one can become involved in all these different activities, and one's path to hell will be wide open. So association of devotees is essential, is really that hinge. And we have to be, you know, this is what we're gaining by this association of devotees. And a lot of time, just speaking from my own personal experience, that I take advantage of it. It's said that Sanatan Goswami used to offer his obeisances every single devotee he saw, no matter who they were, what their spiritual position was. The false ego that we get from having some position, you know, that's the real struggle that we're going through, because we're instructed by the Lord, Sarva Dharmam Parijaja, Mamekam Saranam Vraja, Aham tvam sarva pape mokshayisham masujah. Do not fear. But our false ego is so attached to artificial identity that within this process of Krishna consciousness, as I observe my own mind in the process of chanting Hare Krishna, especially japa, I see in total desperation my false ego trying to latch onto these different misidentities, misconceptions of life that as I chant are being purified and you know, coming to the surface of my consciousness, and I'm becoming more and more aware of how deeply conditioned I really am and how difficult it is to get out, and therefore gradually this increases my appreciation for being in the association of devotees, because I know by absolute fact that if it wasn't for the close association with devotees and the process of Krishna consciousness, that I'd be far gone in this time. So these are some thoughts on these verses. It's a really nice verse, actually from Bhagavatam. I thought I'd read verse and purport just briefly. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Verse 34. Yadyesho parata devi maya vaisharadi mati sampana sampana eviti vidur mahini sve mahiyate. And I really like this verse because this verse explains how, you know, it's like a lot of times we forget how close Krishna is to us, you know, when we're engaged in devotional service, when we're chanting, how he's with us at every second. And he's you know, anyway, let me read it. It's quite nice. If the illusory energy subsides and the living entity becomes fully enriched with knowledge, then by the grace of the Lord, he becomes at once enlightened with self-realization and thus becomes situated in his own glory. Purport. Because the Lord is the absolute transcendence, all of his forms, names, pastimes, attributes, associates and energies are identical with him. His transcendental energy acts according to his omnipotency. The same energy acts as his external, internal, and marginal energies, and by his omnipotency he can perform anything and everything through the agencies of any of the above energies. He can turn the external energy into internal by his will. He can turn the external energy into internal by his will. And this is a really good thing to meditate on when you're chanting japa and you're feeling, like I do a lot of the time, extremely fallen, like there's really no hope and this illusion goes on forever. He can turn the external energy into internal by his will. Therefore, by his grace, the external energy, which is employed in illusioning those living beings who want to have it, subsides by the will of the Lord in terms of repentance and penance for the conditioned soul. So Krishna can, like that, turn our conditioned the conditioned energy that's conditioning us, material energy, into his internal energy, and give us unlimited bliss and reveal our spiritual identity to us like that. But Srila Prabhupada says, in terms of our repentance and our penance. So it's all about attitude, isn't it? And the very same energy then acts to help the purified living being make progress on the path of self-realization. The example of electrical energy is very appropriate in this connection. The expert electrician can utilize the electrical energy for both heating and cooling by adjustment only. Similarly, the external energy, which now bewilders a living being in the continuation of birth and death, is turned into internal potency by the will of the Lord to lead the living being to eternal life. When a living being is thus graced by the Lord, he is placed in his proper constitutional position to enjoy eternal spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So I think on that note we'll stop on Bhagavatam and read about one of the most incredible and wonderful associates of the Lord, Rikeshwar Pandit Prabhu. Once in the house of Srivas Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sang while Rikeshwar Pandit danced in constant ecstasy for 72 hours. At that time, Lord Chaitanya said, Rikeshwar, I have only one wing like you, but if I had another, certainly I could fly in the sky. Expert at singing and dancing, Rikeshwar Pandit always pleased Lord Chaitanya with his service in the Navadvip Sankirtan parties, which he joined from the beginning, the dramas at Srivasangam, and the yearly Rath Yatra at Jagannath Puri. Vrindavan Das Thakur said, to awaken the sleeping souls in the age of Kali, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute the nectar of the holy name of Krishna. When it came, the kol, madanga, and kartal sounded like thundering clouds, absorbed in moods of ecstatic love, and shouting Hari Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Sri Gauranga told everyone to chant the holy name of Krishna. Raising his golden arms to the sky, Lord Gaurahari would dance in ecstasy. At that time, Rikeshwar Pandit and others would dance with the Lord. That's an excerpt from Chaitanya Bhagavat. By Rikeshwar's blessings, Devananda Pandit was freed from the Vaishnava aparad he committed against Srivas Pandit. And just briefly, that history is Devananda Pandit was reciting Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't like his recitations. They were tinged with Mayavad. Srivas Thakur came at one time, and hearing Bhagavatam, he started shedding tears extensively, rolling on the ground, and Devananda's pandits drove him away with sticks. So he seriously offended a Vaishnava. Rikeshwar Pandit came and at one point to Devananda's place and explained Bhagavatam, and Devananda received the right understanding and took shelter for Rikeshwar Pandit, and through the mercy of a devotee, got Lord Chaitanya's mercy, became free from his offense. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu commented on this incident, Krishna has made his home in the heart of Rikeshwar Pandit. As Krishna dances in his heart, so Rikeshwar Pandit himself dances. Whatever place Rikeshwar blesses with his association becomes a holy place of pilgrimage, more sacred than all the holy places. Certain great devotees such as Rikeshwar Pandit, Paramananda Puri, Swarup Damodar, Gadadhar, Jagadananda Pandit, Shankar, Raghunath Vaidya, and Raghunath Das were associating with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the beginning of his pastimes in Navadvip. They also faithfully served the Lord when he moved to Nilachala Dham, Jagannath Puri. Rikeshwar Pandit established deities of Sri Sri Radha Kanta in Kashi Mishra's house next to the Gambira in Jagannath Puri. Kavi Karnapur says Rikeshwar Pandit is an incarnation of Aniruddha of Chatur Vyuha. Rikeshwar Pandit initiated Gopal Guru Goswami and many others in Orissa. Dhyan Chandra, a disciple of Gopal Guru Goswami, says in his books that Rikeshwar Pandit is an incarnation of Tungavidya Shaki, an expert singer and dancer, serving as one of Srimati Radharani's Astashakis. His samadhi is in the 64 samadhis area. Jai Shri Rakeshwar Pandit Prabhu Ki Jai. So now, since today is Hara Panchami, why don't we read the pastime from Chaitanya Charitamrita? Is that okay with everybody? Okay. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. Let's all chant together. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. One more time. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. So from what my limited understanding, Hara Panchami is the fifth day after Rath Yatra, and the goddess of fortune is really upset because Lord Jagannath said he's going to be leaving for a few days. He's visiting the inhabitants of Vrindavan, and after he's not back by the fourth day, she's getting really upset. After taking his seat, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to hear about a particular mellow of devotional service. Therefore, mildly smiling, he began to question Sarup Damodar. Although Lord Jagannath enjoys his pastimes at Dwarka Dham and naturally manifests sublime liberality there, still, once a year, he becomes unlimitedly eager to see Vrindavan. Pointing out the neighboring gardens, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, all these gardens exactly resemble Vrindavan. Therefore, Lord Jagannath is very eager to see them again. Externally, he gives the excuse that he wants to participate in the Rath Yatra festival, but actually he wants to leave Jagannath Puri to go to Sundarachala, the Gundicha temple, a replica of Vrindavan. The Lord enjoys his pastimes day and night in various flower gardens there. But why does he not take Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, with him? Why is that? Sarup Damodar replied, my dear Lord, please hear the reason for this. Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, cannot be admitted to the pastimes of Vrindavan. In the pastimes of Vrindavan, the only assistants are the gopis. But for the gopis, no one can attract the mind of Krishna. The Lord said, using the car festival as an excuse, Krishna goes there with Subhadra and Baladev. You can imagine Krishna telling Lakshmi, I'm just going to go with my brother and sister for a little car festival. I'll be back in a few days. Unknowing to her the real reason. All the pastimes with the gopis that take place in those gardens are very confidential ecstasies of Lord Krishna. No one knows them. Since there is no fault at all in Krishna's pastimes, why does the goddess of fortune become angry? Sarup Damodar replied, it is the nature of a girl afflicted by love to become immediately angry upon finding any neglect on the part of her lover. While Sarup Damodar and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were talking, the procession of the goddess of fortune came by. She was riding upon a golden palanquin, carried by four men and bedecked with a variety of jewels. The palanquin was also surrounded by people carrying umbrellas, chamar whisks, and flags, and it was preceded by musicians and dancing girls. The maidservants were carrying water pitchers, chamar whisks, and boxes for betel nuts. There were hundreds of maidservants, all attractively dressed and wearing valuable necklaces. In an angry mood, the goddess of fortune arrived at the main gate of the temple, accompanied by many members of her family. excuse me, all of whom exhibited uncommon opulence. When the procession arrived, the maidservants of the goddess of fortune began to arrest all the principal servants of Lord Jagannath. The maidservants bound the servants of Jagannath, handcuffed them, and made them fall down at the lotus feet of the goddess of fortune. Indeed, they were arrested just like thieves who have all their riches taken away. Purport: when Lord Jagannath starts his car festival, he gives assurance to the goddess of fortune that he will return the next day. When he does not return, the goddess of fortune, after waiting 2 or 3 days, begins to feel that her husband has neglected her. She naturally becomes quite angry. Gorgeously decorating herself and her associates, she comes out of the temple and stands before the main gate. All the principal servants of Lord Jagannath are then arrested by her maidservants, brought before her, and forced to fall down at her lotus feet. Next text. When the servants fell down before the lotus feet of the goddess of fortune, they almost fell unconscious. They were chastised and made the butt of jokes and loose language. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates saw such impudence exhibited by the maidservants of the goddess of fortune, they covered their faces with their hands and began to smile. Srup Damodar said, "There is no egoistic pride like this within the three worlds. At least I have never seen nor heard of it. When a woman is neglected and disappointed, out of egoistic pride, she gives up her ornaments and morosely sits down on the ground, marking lines on it with her nails." I have heard of this kind of pride in Satyabhama, Krishna's proudest queen, and I have also heard of it in the gopis of Vrindavan, who are all the reservoirs of all transcendental mellows. But in the case of the goddess of fortune, I see a different kind of pride. She manifests her own opulences and even goes with her soldiers to attack her husband. Okay, we'll read the purport here. After seeing the impudence of the goddess of fortune, Srup Damodar Goswami wanted to inform Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about the super excellence of the gopis' loving affairs. He therefore said, "My lord, I have never experienced anything like the behavior of the goddess of fortune. We sometimes see a beloved wife becoming proud of her position and then frustrated due to some neglect. She then gives up caring for her appearance, accepting dirty clothes, and morosely sits on the ground and draws lines with her nails. We have heard of such egoistic pride in Satyabhama and the gopis of Vrindavan, but what we see in the goddess of fortune here at Jagannath Puri is completely different. She becomes very angry with her husband and attacks him with her great opulence." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Please tell me of the varieties of egoistic pride manifested in Vrindavan." Srup Damodar replied, "The pride of the gopis is like a river flowing with hundreds of tributaries. Characteristics and modes of love are different in different women. Their jealous anger also takes on different varieties and qualities. It is not possible to give a complete statement about the different types of jealous anger manifest by the gopis, but a few principles may serve as an indication. There are 3 types of women experiencing jealous anger: sober women, restless women, and women both restless and sober. When a sober heroine sees her hero approaching from a distance, she immediately stands up to receive him. When he comes near, she immediately offers him a place to sit. The sober heroine conceals her anger within her heart and externally speaks sweet words. When her lover embraces her, she returns his embrace. The sober heroine is very simple in her behavior. She keeps her jealous anger within her heart, but with mild words and smiles, she rejects the advances of her lover. The restless heroine, however, sometimes chastises her husband with cruel words, sometimes pulls his ear, and sometimes binds him with a flower garland. The heroine, who is a combination of sobriety and restlessness, always jokes with equivocal words She sometimes praises her lover, sometimes blasphemes him, and sometimes remains indifferent. Heroines may also be classified as captivated, intermediate, and impudent. The captivated heroine does not know very much about the cunning intricacies of jealous anger. The captivated heroine simply covers her face and goes on crying. When she hears sweet words from her lover, she is very satisfied. Both the intermediate and impudent heroines can be classified as sober, restless, and both sober and restless. All their characteristics can be further classified in three divisions. Some of these heroines are very talkative, some are mild, some are equipoised. Each heroine, according to her own character, increases Sri Krishna's loving ecstasy. Although some of the gopis are talkative, some mild, and some equipoised, all of them are transcendental and faultless. They please Krishna by their unique characteristics. So this is the very interesting point in all this. Through all these activities, the gopis are all pleasing Krishna. So this is something to aspire for. This is a little bit of a window into the highest regions of bhakti yoga. And as we approach and enter into the process of raganuga bhakti, we can gradually aspire for some of these things. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt unlimited happiness upon hearing these descriptions, and he again and again requested Sarup Damodar to continue speaking. Damodar Goswami said, Krishna is the master of all transcendental mellows and the taster of all transcendental mellows, and his body is composed of transcendental bliss. Krishna is full of ecstatic love and always subordinate to the love of his devotees. The gopis are very much experienced in pure love and in the dealings of transcendental mellows. There is no flaw or adulteration in the love of the gopis. Therefore, they give Krishna the highest pleasure. And of course, some of the details that he's speaking about here is we can read in the Nectar of Devotion. Lord Sri Krishna, who is the absolute truth, enjoyed his rasa dance every night during the autumn season. He performed this dance in the moonlight with full transcendental mellows. He used poetic words and surrounded himself with women who were very much attracted to him. The gopis can be divided into a left wing and right wing. Both wings induce Krishna to taste transcendental mellows by various manifestations of ecstatic love. Of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the chief. She is a jewel mine of ecstatic love and the source of all purified transcendental conjugal mellows. Radharani has grown up and her character is equipoised. She is always deeply absorbed in ecstatic love and always feeling in the mood of a left-wing gopi. Because she is a left-wing gopi, her womanly anger is always awakening, but Krishna derives transcendental bliss from her activities. The progress of loving affairs between a young boy and young girl is by nature crooked, just like the movement of a snake. Because of this, two types of anger arise between a young boy and girl: anger with a cause and anger without a cause. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these talks, his ocean of transcendental bliss increased. He therefore told Sarup Damodar, go on speaking. And thus Sarup Damodar continued. So I think we'll end here. If anyone has any quick question or comment. Otherwise, we'll end Srimad Bhagavatam class here. Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jai Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Jai Hera Panchami ki jai. Jai Shri Rakeshwara Pandit Hu ki jai. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention that today, if anyone doesn't know, is the disappearance day of Indra Prabhu, and there's a grand festival happening in just a few hours in the Balaram Hall. And so there'll be nice kirtan, nice memories, and a video of Indra also. And then there'll be a sumptuous prasadam feast after. So everyone please come and invite all your friends also. Thank you. Hare Krishna.